Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook. Good morning, Beth Ann.
Good morning.
So there's a federal hiring freeze in effect, but it does not apply to the Pearl Harbor shipyard. Is that right?
So says the Department of Defense, but that's... While it sounds like it could be a sigh of relief for example, the shipyard, there are other issues. We're going to talk about that this morning. Now, there are jobs available. As we just mentioned, the hiring freeze does not apply, and there's a Honolulu Community College program to train skilled workers. So how come it's so tough for the Pearl Harbor shipyard to reach full employment? We called the union which represents the shipyard workers to find out why the situation that started with additional worry over necessary jobs going wanting is really a larger conversation that has little to do with the hiring freeze. Robert Lillis is president of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. He's in our studio this morning. Thank you so much for coming in.
Hello, Beth Ann. It's nice to be here. One of the things I want to make clear is I'm one of 10 labor unions at the shipyard. We have an umbrella organization called the Metal Trades Council. But going back to your question, why is it hard to hire so many people? The reason is the shipyard is very specialized in, it primarily does submarine work. And submarine work is very technically driven.
It's dirty work, too.
It's very tough work. These boats are very tight. They're filled with some of the most technically advanced technology around, and they're cramped. They operate in some of the toughest environments in the world under the water. I mean, in every corner of the oceans, and these boats have a lifespan of over 20 years. So in that period of time, the Navy runs them hard, and the maintenance demands that the Navy wants a high quality ship back from the to the fleet from the shipyard, and it takes quality workers, quality work procedures, and quality training.
Yeah, people who know what they're doing.
Absolutely.
When we hear that there were about 500 jobs going wanting that could have been in jeopardy because of the hiring freeze, it sounds like, although those are a lot of jobs, I mean, people kind of jump to that idea. But the idea that it also takes a number of years to get through the program, you're talking 4 years to get through that program. There could be, for example, months before you are actually employed after you get out of the program. That's a lot of time for somebody to change his or her mind about wanting to be involved with the shipyard, and also not necessarily accounting for the attrition that you're feeling anyway.
Yeah, okay. The process of getting hired into the shipyard is quite cumbersome, but a lot of it's necessary. There's security clearances you have to pass.
Well, these are federal employees.
Yes. But it's more than your regular federal employee. There's an exclusive feeling being for the shipyard employee that they're part of a tight community, that there's only 4 naval shipyards in the nation, and Pearl Harbor is one of them. It's one of the smaller of the 4 shipyards. It has a very stoic history of being a place where the aircraft carriers in the Battle of Midway were repaired in unbelievable speed, and that's something we take a historic pride on. And it's a good place for people to work. It is a good job, and good jobs are becoming harder and harder to find. It's also a skilled trade. You know, our welders at the shipyard that we represent, our machinists, our mechanics, take years to become a full qualified journeyman mechanic. And that's something they take pride in, the quality of work they take pride in.
Has there ever been a point where you've had enough people coming into the pipeline and also enough people coming out to fill the jobs as other people are retiring and as the necessity has increased for those skilled workers?
If you're talking about has there been a time when we had the right numbers, there was a time in the early 80s where the shipyard was a little bit overmanned and they had a reduction of force at that time. And that was a painful experience to see so many people with good jobs having to lose their jobs at the shipyard, something that many people had. And this was a while ago, back in the 80s. But since then, the shipyard has been a very steady hire. It's been a good job for people to get. It's steady employment.
But has there been a point where you've had full employment, where you've had the amount of people that you needed to do the job with alacrity in the way that, you know, the Navy wants it done, and to feel that you weren't having to burden people with extensive overtime to be able to get it done.
Right now, we're running a lot. There is a lot of overtime being run. We're trying to make up the numbers by hiring enough people. The exact number, it's a variable number that you'd be chasing, because the amount of work that the Navy ships need varies each time a ship comes in. It's not a consistent. You're the people who are running the shipyard are very good at doing an estimate on how much manpower they need, and they tend to calculate low. They want to not do a reduction in force, so they usually want to have a minimum employees and make it up on the overtime. It's a lot less painful for the workforce to let people go as painful.
Nevertheless, you've got a lot of work that you have to get done. And so now if you're having to defer to overtime, what would be the minimum amount of people that you would need today to be able to get the jobs that are currently under contract?
I think the number of 500 is a valid number to bring up the shipyard to where it needs to be, and that needs to be done in increments. It can't be done all at once.
What's the time period that you would see that could happen, and are there really truly enough people, again, coming into the pipeline, coming out of the pipeline now, that would fill those jobs for you in the near term?
Well, they hired over 100 apprentices this year, and I believe the process will be about the same for next year. And in a couple of years, we should be able to make up for the losses there.
And what about the attrition factor, and also people who are simply, retiring?
Yeah, there's yes, we have to make up for the attrition and retirement. So you can't just hire exactly what you need. You have to anticipate you're going to lose some. I believe that the apprentice class has about a 5% attrition rate, about 5% of the people. So if you hire 100, five people after the end of 4 years will probably not be there. It's low, but it's still real, and that builds up a 5% here and 5% there, and all of a sudden you don't have enough people and you're having to make it up with either backing up your schedule or a lot of overtime, or sometimes both overtime and backing up your schedules.
As you looked at the hiring freeze, which now, according to the DOD, doesn't apply to the shipyards, but even at first blush, was that a mistake?
I think it was short-sighted, because you can't – I don't represent just Pearl Harbor. Represent federal workers in various other places such as Tripler and private sector workers such as BA Hawaii Shipyard. Now, these are all good workers, good-paying jobs. Now, when you don't hire and you have work to do, you either have to make it up on overtime or defer the work, or your schedule slips, and none of those are really good things. So the hiring freeze was short-sighted at best.
I want to thank you for coming in this morning and being with us.
Thank you, Beth Ann.
We'll see what happens. Robert Lillis is president of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers.